everybody, and welcome. All thanks to LD Mobile. This right around the country as we head towards, finally, the NBL 21 playoffs is NBL overtime. Still one game to go. That's next. We'll get to that very shortly as well. Homicide, you will not believe this as I say hello to you.
What's up, bro?
I nearly wore that shirt. That would have been embarrassing.
I'd like to see that.
Liam Standing Ready. Studs and Duds out tomorrow. Mm-hmm. Looking forward to that. You good?
I'm good, man.
NBL.com.au and, of course, the NBL app. But we do start with some sad news and the news over the course of the weekend that filtered back to Australia that Galen Young, 2010 Perth Wildcats Championship player and, of course, a former teammate and great mate of yours, Homicide, tragically passed away over the weekend. I'll leave it up to you, mate, to say whatever you want to say.
My condolences out to his family, his twin sons. Galen Young was more than just a teammate for me. He was my brother. We talked a lot about the transition, life after the game, what we're going to be doing. He was coaching at Lane College. And after that, last season, he was coaching at Rockhurst University. And the whole plan was to funnel kids from New York City to his program. So that was the plan. We started early recruiting kids to give them opportunity. He was a great guy. He was a leader. He was a protector for me. He was truly my big brother. A lot of times we throw that around, but that's what he really was to me. And when I first came to this country, he and Roselle were imports. And the bond that we had was tight. Although Roselle wasn't playing anymore and was injured, you know, that bond was inseparable. I didn't have to speak to him every day, and it was love as if we spoke every day. So, I was heartbroken. You know, I've taken many L's the last year and a half, but this one hurts the most because everything else I can get over easy. But I lost my brother, man. I lost my brother, but those kids, man, his twin sons, they're about 7 years old. Mm. They lost a great man, a great leader, a great human. So my heart goes out to him and his family and his two sons. That this was hard. It was a hard weekend.
Hey, you've done it. No, it must be just incredibly difficult, man. It's like you say, he's obviously had a massive impact on you. And if he's had a massive impact on you, you can imagine the kind of impact he's had on a lot of people over a period of time. And it's just heartbreaking what's happening. And the whole NBL community sends its love to his family and people like you who were really, really close to him.
Well spoken, man. And we love you and we're here for you as well. As Liam just said, with everybody who's been touched by the tragic news over the last 3 or 4 days.
Yeah.
And we send our wishes to everybody right around this country, and that's what basketball does. You have friends and family all across the planet. All right.
You've done an amazing job to come in.
You have.
Corey, we appreciate it. And get into this show, man.
You good to keep pushing through?
Yeah.
Hashtag NBL overtime to get involved. I will ask, was it Galen Young had that dunk bet with?
Nah, that was Roselle.
That was you throwing away money, just so we're aware, mate. Just so we're aware. Hey, let's get to these playoffs because we have got one game to go. Now, something extraordinary has to happen. Just so we're aware, let's set it up.
Yep.
Essentially, if Brisbane win by more than 80 points.
I think it's 77.
I don't even have my graphics calculator ready to go. If it's more than 77. Now, I will say there has been a precedent.
Has there?
May 6, 1984.
Right.
It was the Coburg Giants who smacked around the Sydney Supersonics.
Yep.
By 88 points.
Yep.
What day? Now, today's a Tuesday. What day do you think that game was held on?
Oh, don't tell me.
No, it was a Sunday. Absolutely okay. Nothing in common with this game. It won't happen, so we can probably lock it in.
Benny Lewis ain't walking through that door.
Almost had you. All right, let's start with Illawarra, though, because we know Illawarra are there. They're playing, and this is what we want as sports fans and basketball fans. The teams will be playing their best at the business end of the year. We had some doubts about the Illawarra Hawks doing that about 3 weeks ago, but they have ended the season brilliantly. They've earned their spot. Third if the Bullets win tonight, fourth if it's the Phoenix. Liam Santa Maria, take us through this.
Well, Corey, you said this from the very get-go, from pre-season, that this Hawks team was going to make the finals, and they've done it. And sometimes you can't see the forest for the trees. This is an incredible achievement. There was a point during the off-season where this team didn't have an owner, it didn't have anybody on the roster, and it didn't have a coaching staff. So to go from that point to the finals, now, obviously the ownership has done a terrific job. They've brought in the best coach in NBL history. And then they've been able to put together a roster. Now, they haven't been without their own adversity. Their two marquee players did not pan out, one because of form and one because of injury. And yet, Gorgian, Tyler Harvey and co. have managed to come together and do enough to make the postseason. And they're coming in great form as well. So you tip your hat to them. This was an outstanding result and a great celebration for all the basketball fans in Wollongong, the Hawkheads, on that night. And you tip your hat to that whole organisation.
Yeah, everything you just said, Liam. And just shout out to Dory and the ownership group for getting it all together. And they did a remarkable job, you know, coming in last minute. Everything you said, the marquee players, you know, the leaders, one injured and one just underperformed. And to do it with a young cast and Tyler Harvey leading from the front. I mean, like we all knew. Brian Gorgian coming back into the league was special, but the league wasn't this tough, I believe, with this much talent. So, and he was removed for about, 10 years? Mm-hmm. So to come back in, it's like, let's really see if you are still that guy. And he proved that. And he has my nod for Coach of the Year because it wasn't like they had a team with a pool full of players that he could have selected from other teams. It was just, this is what we have. And we got to make this work. Mm-hmm. And for him to make that work with that team under the stress and this difficulties time in, time out with this season, this tremendous props and respect to him.
Mm. 1992, I might be grasping at straws here, okay? Mm-hmm. Mm. Going to the 92 NBL season, merger, a lot of uncertainty around the two Melbourne teams. Mm-hmm. Brian Gorgian is already at one of them. They make a grand final. In fact, they win it. Later in that decade, a lot of uncertainty. Southeast Melbourne Magic, North Melbourne Giants, he takes over, they make a grand final. 2009, a lot of uncertainty around the South Dragons around that time that ultimately led to, unfortunately, not being able to continue on. They make a grand final. Yeah. He's got in fact, to be fair, hindsight's a wonderful thing, but he's made the semi-finals every single year. And I'll put my hand up because even a month ago I thought they were going to miss out. Yeah. I'm an idiot. There, I said it. Gorgian just does this.
Yeah, he does. Yep. He's amazing. And then you look at on the roster, what he's done with Sam Froehlich, putting him in a position to succeed, what he's done with AJ Ogilvie, giving him that leadership role, and he has been terrific. And then, you know, a whole bunch of other pieces. He took his time with a couple of guys like Isaac White in particular, Emmett Nark. He kind of managed him through the season to the point where he's an important contributor off the bench. And then, of course, Tim Conrad. Oh, my God, unbelievable. What a contribution from him at the end of this season. So, look, the GOAT just doing GOAT things. And coming into the season, he said, I've always had defensive-based teams. This is full of offensive weapons, high-flying athletes, and it's going to be fun to watch. And yet, he's turned them into one of the best defensive teams in the competition. Hats off to him.
Now, it must be said that a week ago we sat here, we were excited about this last weekend. And then Wednesday night happened, and Brisbane had a great second half and knocked off Southeast Melbourne Phoenix in front of zero fans of the Snag Pit. And then Southeast Melbourne Phoenix went and ruined so much of it by winning in New Zealand, but they were brilliant and they well and truly almost 99.9% have locked away their playoff spot. They were outstanding. And Kiefer Sykes' first half, I'm going to you here, Homicide, because you keep telling us when this man gets going, they're a much different team, we all agree, and they're a much different team, in particular, in the first 20 minutes.
29-7-5. I'm going to tell you the most important thing about that. The two eggs that he laid prior to this game. Played against Cairns, gave up a lead, and they took a L. Played against Brisbane, took a L, had a lead. And it was because he underperformed. Him, I'm calling him out. As an import, he was supposed to not allow that to happen, and he did. Twice! He had to come out big. He could not allow this game to slip, and also, he didn't want it to go down to the end to where potentially Brisbane could knock them off at home. That was really the danger game. So shout out to him. I watched the documentary that he has. It's on Amazon Prime, The Shy. This man is a leader. He's been anointed from a young child. I watched it and I was in disbelief at how mature he is and was at such a young age, at 18, 17 in high school, talking about, yeah, you know, if I'm basketball to take me but so far, but you know, I want to make sure I get my degree and graduate college. And he was a leader from the beginning. And to come from Chicago, if you do not know about Chicago, watch this documentary. You'll understand how tough it is and how many L's he was taking, not personally, but kind of was, because it was friends and families. You know, and listen, man, Chicago, it ain't no joke. And for him to have that leadership and fortitude, and he didn't lack foresight and just continuing to stay in the gym and work hard, it's a testament. I'm seeing it today. And that's why I posted it about his documentary. It's a must-see. And if you can understand him, you need to watch this to understand who this man is in depth. So shout out to him.
Great signing, great performance. In a big, big moment, stood up. He was killing them. Timeout, Dan Shamir. Kiefer Sykes is killing us. They're constantly trying to make adjustments and they couldn't get it done. And big performance from him. And the Southeast Melbourne Phoenix, people, I don't know why they don't get the love that they deserve. Because tell me another expansion team in the NBL ever that has made the semifinals in their first 2 years of existence.
Shout out to Tommy Greer.
Tommy Greer, Rowan Short, Simon Mitchell, Mitch Creek, the four pillars of that organisation from the very start. That's an incredible effort.
Huge.
Facts.
I mean, you can talk about some merge teams that did that. You can talk about some teams that changed their name, like Melbourne United. But a team just started from absolute zero. The Hawks are not too dissimilar, just quietly, with where they came from during the offseason. But that's an incredible achievement. The other thing is, in terms of like Coach of the Year and whatnot, I mean, Simon Mitchell cops it from left and right. I don't know why. Put your hand up anywhere. I mean, there's one hand up for people who thought this team was going to make the finals at the start of the season and yet doesn't get the love that they deserve. Hats off. And that's a dangerous team. You do not want to play them in the finals right now.
You know why they're dangerous? Because they're unpredictable. Okay? And they can throw in... Their first half against Cairns was actually really decent last Wednesday night and it was tracking. I'm not sure if either of you two with me on that game. I think it might have been Copes and Gacy. But we got to halfway and we're like, this is what's going to happen. Southeast Melbourne Phoenix will play this way. And then they give us 6 minutes of absolute stinking basketball and Brisbane take the game over and ultimately win the game. But they're unpredictable because if they get on that roll, in particular in a three-game series, you don't want to meet them, because if Brockhoff goes hard and finds that stroke and then all of a sudden Mitch Creek does Mitch Creek things and Kiefer Sykes goes nuts, next thing you know, you're down one game knowing desperately you've got to somehow win. It might be on a neutral court if you're Melbourne United, knowing you've got to get going. Of course, there's a fair bit of irony there because it would be a neutral court somewhat anyway. But in the end... Essentially, this is a team that you don't want to meet. Inconsistency has plagued them at different points. It's an incredible effort. Now they get an opportunity at their first ever franchise and playoff spot and an opportunity to go all the way.
But the thing that's important is, you mentioned Melbourne United. They win today, they're in third, correct?
They finished third.
I'm sure they're aiming for third, because you would rather match up against a cottonless Wildcat team versus a fully stacked Melbourne United team.
Hashtag MBL21, hashtag ETE, expect the unexpected as the playoffs arrive.
Which, while we're at it, before we move off Illawarra and South East Melbourne, and while you're talking about those potential matchups, it brings into, I'm really curious as to what happened with regards to Tyler Harvey and the Hawks and their final game against the Sydney Kings. Because how really hurt was he? Or was that just like, you know what, he's played a lot of minutes, it's a big load, let's take the opportunity to rest him. Big game, big result. They win that, they lock in third. They're taking on a cottonless Wildcats in the semi-final series. They drop that game, Tyler Harvey doesn't play. Now South East Melbourne have the opportunity to get that spot.
Do you think that someone made a mistake within the organisation to be unsure as to how it plays out in the next 3 or 4 days? Because, right, the playoff spot is wrapped up, okay? And there was no inclination that Tyler Harvey wasn't going to play. In fact, he was named as a starter, right?
Yes, he was.
So is it a simple... I'm just trying to find something that...
I think most people watching the Phoenix in their previous couple of games thought they're probably not going to win their last two games. Now, maybe they don't. Maybe they lose to Brisbane tonight, but...
That's a massive risk to take. Knowing you get a fair bit of time off the back of it.
Yep.
So you play and you're not playing for at least a week.
Yes.
On the back of it.
I think in a situation like that, they may have just been like, we in finals, we lock it in, we don't care who we play. But we know let's just rest him because the last thing we need is for him to get injured. That's just how I'm looking
at it. What do you think about that? Because South East Melbourne are in a not too dissimilar situation. So in fact, maybe even more so because their first final is going to be in 2 days' time. Mm. So would you go, well, we're in, let's rest Kiefer Sayce-Mitchell? I say, this is actually a final because the chance to play a Cottonless Wildcats instead of a Melbourne United is a prize worth fighting for.
And you know who's rolling? The Illawarra Hawks and Tyler Harvey. Why do you want to stall any of that momentum?
It was strange.
It was strange. Now, they are there, and I'm sure Brian Gorgian and the crew believe they can beat anyone, so...
Well, he's the goat.
He most certainly is. However, if it is South East Melbourne Phoenix you lose tonight, or if it's Illawarra, they're going to take on a Melbourne United team who wrapped up... Now, you got in a bit of... What's the correct pronunciation? Is it minor champion or regular season champion? Well, what does NBL use?
They use regular season
regular
champions.
Season champions. Yeah. The United have finished off beautifully, right? They're playing well. They had a different talking starting fives. They had a bit of a different starting five in Adelaide. And in the end, it absolutely made no difference to how it all played out. Talk to me. I'll start with you, Homicide. What do you see from... In fact, I'll throw this to you. Scotty Hobson. How big of a difference has he made to how he's playing now?
X factor. It's been an up and down season for him. It's been very difficult to go from being the man to third or fourth option. Very, very difficult. I think that he's handled it as best as he can, but he knows now it's money time, right? The only thing that would make sense of this season for him is winning a title. Mm-hmm. And he knows I can play my best basketball in 3 weeks. You know what I mean? The turbulent time has passed. Me coming off the bench, I'm a huge X factor for this team. They'll basically win it easily or win it difficult, depending on how he's playing. And he played very well against Adelaide. And I just think that he's the biggest X factor, whether they win it easy or the hard way.
They're in an unbelievably good spot right now, aren't they? I mean, apart from being able to play at home in front of their home fans, and apart from having Jack White on the floor, of course, but I think, you know, the whole organisation has moved on from having him as part of the team this season. They are just... in a perfect place as far as their team is concerned. In terms of how everybody's playing, everybody understanding their role, everything is set up for them to go all the way.
If they don't win the championship, it's
they're
a massive
winning
bust.
It. They're winning.
I think they will. But everything's been geared. Everything's outside of not playing. You know, no one wants to play in neutral territory. No one wants to play away from home, away from their adoring fans. I don't think it makes a difference.
Don't make a difference.
I think they'll still win the championship.
Plus, they're road warriors, right?
Yeah.
Hey, I did say at the start of the year, Scotty Hobson, speaking to Scotty Hobson, if he keeps playing like, or he's having this type of output like he did early in the year, they can't win the championship. Mm. And now we're seeing a Scotty Hobson. Different tweet from last year, of course, as Homicide alluded to, but he is on fire. I want to give a shout out too to the Perth Wildcats. The pink jerseys there for an unbelievably great cause, raising money for breast cancer. And the very fact is that they actually look great. I actually really like the jerseys. So big shout out to the Wildcats, and they've done it for a number of years now, and it is a great cause. So kudos as they gear up to host the first final come Thursday night. All right, Brisbane are going to fall short. We know they're not going to be in the playoffs. We know that they've got a new coach. Now, Ogun Ulic a couple of days ago did tweet, they got a new coach. Are you 100%?
Well, we'll get to that, right? Let's talk about them falling short.
Okay, go on.
First. Andre Lamanis's farewell campaign. Mm-hmm. It's kind of what the Bolts do, right? They get close, but
true.
Not quite there. And a couple of seasons ago, a little trip to the finals, swept out from by the Wildcats. And then the last couple of years, a late run, but too little, too late. I liked what they brought toward the end of the season. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Nathan Sobey's had a terrific year. Everything changed for the Bullets when Vic Law went down.
Yep.
They were absolutely firing on all cylinders, coming out of the cup. And Law and Sobey were killing. Everybody else was finding their spots outside of that. And then that injury kind of really ruined their season. They weren't able to get enough done, I don't think, to get there. And Andre Lamanis, on his way out, has made a little comment towards the ownership, Kevin Martin and his crew, saying, look, if this is who we will continue to be, this club will continue to be, unless the budget is put at a point where you want to win the title.
Just on that, okay. The roster they put together, now, can they afford Vic Law and Lamar Patterson?
Probably not.
Well, hang on, but they signed Lamar Patterson to play with Vicor, right?
Yeah, but that you signed Lamar Patterson at that point. That's not Lamar Patterson at his highest price.
Still wouldn't have been overly cheap.
You want? We just put the graphic up.
But we'll get to that in a split second. But okay. I understand what Andre Lamanis is saying, and I'm sure. But I'm like, that, if you can get Lamar Patterson and Vic Law, which they were both signed, I get it was a different time, and maybe Lamar was a little cheaper. But essentially, at that time of the NBL Cup and Lamar coming in, we were all raising hell that they were going to be a really good team. That is a roster you would think that can contend for a championship, is it not?
Oh, I thought they were going to be in the mix. Mm. They were going to be in the mix at that point. But look, I mean, he also has a point. They have operated at a lower budget to other teams, and that makes things very difficult. You have to really get everything. You have no room for error or margin for error in that case.
Which was proven. I have no doubt what Andre Lamanis says has a great deal of foundation to it. I'm just like, at different points in this year, they put together a roster that we thought, if everyone stays fit and healthy, and that's a big knock on wood, and you mentioned the wriggle room there, the fact is that in the end it didn't happen. But you put Vic Law and Lamar Patterson in a team with Nathan Sobey, and Matty Hodgson continues to play well, and next thing, who knows what happens. All right, let's talk about that. Throw that back up. Sorry, my apologies. I started with it and then I delayed it. James Duncan's linked to the head coach role. You did drop it Saturday night as a little tidbit while we were commentating the game together. You believe that to be done?
Look, Ogden is the newsbreaker, man. And if he's saying it, then I'm buying it. And as I mentioned on the broadcast, he'd interviewed and he was, you know, they were really impressed with what he'd brought to the table. And look, Will Weaver, then Adam Ford, both spoke really highly of what James Duncan had brought to his role as an assistant in Sydney. And looks like the Bullets are keen to make him their man.
All right, so that means Cairns and Sydney are still looking for new coaches as we head into the off-season. What are you hearing, anything?
No, it's kind of quiet in that regard right now. Sydney had their awards night last night and... look, nothing necessarily to come out of that in terms of their coaching position. And Cairns is a bit of wait and see. Olgan Ulich has also suggested that, and Ford is the front runner in that regard. And we wait and see. But it's interesting, Brisbane Bullets. I mean, we thought CJ Broome was going to be right in that mix. I mentioned Judd Flavel from the South East Melbourne Phoenix. I'm pretty sure he was one of their closely considered candidates as well. But no official word from the club as yet, but that's the suggestion from Olgan Ulich.
And big congratulations, Casper Ware Jr., the MVP of that Sydney Kings team and the awards night you spoke about last night. All right, finalist time.
Mm.
You ready for this?
Mm-hmm.
Rather than me reading it, throw it up there, guys, out the back. There we go.
So these are the top three vote-getters.
These are the top three vote-getters in all the major awards. You see, most valuable player there, best sixth man, coach of the year, defensive player, of course, the Damian Martin trophy, most improved, and, of course, the rookie of the year. Homicide, give me one right now that's going to ruffle some feathers outside of Tyler Harvey being MVP.
There isn't any. Most improved is going to be tough.
Mm-hmm.
That's probably the toughest one. Again, you know, I've stated it probably the last 2 weeks. MVP, if Bryce Cotton gets the LeBron treatment, Tyler Harvey will get it.
Sixth Man of the Year is an interesting one for me, okay?
Yeah.
Have a look.
So, I think there's a big snub from Sixth Man of the Year.
Hit me.
Ben Moore.
I agree. He was my Sixth Man of the Year the middle of the year when we went through what it was like. So if you look at both all Melbourne guys, two United, one from South East Melbourne Phoenix. Do you look at Kyle Adnam, who's been outstanding in that role?
Yep.
Or do you give it to the best player who right now is really getting that team going in Scotty Hobson? That is a very hard way. Because it's a different interpretation of how you actually look at what makes the best Sixth Man of the Year award, I think.
Well, I did my own kind of voting yesterday just for, you know, I helped kind of establish some nominees for some of these awards as part of the panel. But then when, you know, I looked at those and did my own 3-2-1s, I had Ben Moore as my best sixth man over Luala Chul, over Hobson, over Adnam, and he's not in the top three vote getters, which is interesting. He has been sensational, highly efficient, third in the league in offensive rebounding. Can't get a look.
I'm not sure if this is you, Liam, or whoever it might have been, but I want to give a big shout out. I think Hunter and Froehling are going to fight out most improved, and it probably will be Froehling. Just want to give a shout out because too often, I think in basketball awards around the world, we don't actually say a guy's gone from good to being elite. Mm-hmm. And that's how you could look at Finn Delaney, who had a really good year last year when he wasn't injured, when he got going late in the back of the year. He's been in Summer League. He's been right there on the periphery, of course, playing for the national team. And he went from good to an All-NBL at a minimum second team this year. So I like the fact that he is involved in that as well. Any last thoughts on the side before we move on?
Joe Lualachu plays the least amount of minutes, and his numbers compared to the minutes that he's playing is big.
I think he'll win it from here. Do you?
Yeah. He'll win that.
Best defensive player.
Justin Simon to get that.
Does he play enough minutes?
Mitch Norton, that's going to be close.
Does Simon enough minutes to be the Damian Martin award?
Of course he does.
Yeah. I mean, he has some games where they go in a different direction. They're getting it done defensively without him. He's been a great defender all year long.
He's a great defender. I'm just not certain, because you're right, they still somehow get big stops sometimes when he is on the bench for whatever reason that is. I think it'll be Mitch Norton. I thought Abercrombie, our good mate Peter Hawley, pushed that earlier in the year, but I think he might just miss a lot.
I thought Sunday Dech would be on the podium ahead of Abercrombie in the end, but he misses out. Trevor Gleeson, Brian Gorgon, that's going to be a close count.
Yeah, it will.
Good luck. All right, all thanks to JD Sports, of course, our undisputed king of trainers. They bring us the sneaker of the week. And this man, Xavier Cooks.
Nice.
Do you know what they are, Homicide?
Kobe's.
You're the fashionista. Have they got a particular name?
They look like Bumblebee.
They look great.
Those are the Bruce Lee Kobe's.
Bruce Lee Kobe's, are they?
Yep.
There you go. Man, they're good. I tell you what, I'm going to hold Xavier Cooks in that conversation for a split second, but as we do know...
Those are fire.
They are very, very much so. Now, you ready for this?
Here we go.
JD, sneaker of the week.
Hold on.
MA2 Concord release. It's a takedown of the iconic and one of the all-time greatest Air Jordan 11 colourways, of which Liam and I definitely both had pairs when we were going head-to-head as under 16, 25 years ago. Then you've got a little Air Max zone in there as well. The Concord-inspired heaters will be available this Friday online and at JD stores to cop your pair. Do not stuff around. I'm telling you right now, go to jd-sports.com.au.
Killing. Week after week.
I'm not allowed to leave early to get them, but hang on a second.
Hold on, what's going on here?
I'm getting the app. I'm getting the JD Sports app. So the moment it's... Well, I've got the app. I'm getting it open. So the moment we get... Or jdsports.com.au.
Okay.
I don't know what more you need me to do.
Can I take a moment?
Yes, please.
Want to shout out my man, Hugh Bainan. Can we get a close-up here and a look at this? Born in Black, his new book about the Test Centurions for the Tall Blacks. Great read. The guys that have played 100 games for the Tall Blacks over there in New Zealand, you're talking about Perry Cameron and Paul Henare and Mark Dickel, my former teammate from the Victoria Titans. Mm-hmm. All of the guys in there have played in the NBL. And great read. If you enjoyed reading like Shea Serrano, sort of his books, Bill Simmons, those kind of things, this is going to be a good read for you. I'm enjoying it. Haven't finished it, but... getting stuck in. You can get it from Bateman Books. Bateman, B-A-T-E-M-A-N, books.co.nz.
Nearly got you on the different country.
Friend of the show.
Very much so.
Hosted a little NBL overtime down in Tassie in your absence.
He did.
At one point, Cam nearly did you out of a job. But
he did. I just squashed that real quickly. What do you think I brought in? Why do you think I brought in visa applications for the NBL overtime? Head roll.
Get your copy. Great stuff.
Looks good. Yes or no, you ready?
Yep.
Chris Golding, Boomers 12?
Yes.
Xavier Cooks?
No.
Their new head coach of the Kings, will he be a guy who has previously played in the NBL?
No.
Does Jack McVay need a new home?
No.
Lamar Patterson and Vic Law. That's a short off-season. If you're the Brisbane Bullets, you're signing these guys and saying, guys, you've got 1 month out of the country and going home and we understand the world we live in, but let's get back here and get this thing going.
Yes.
If the Sydney Kings and Brad Newley can't sort it out to go next year, would Brad Newley be a great pickup for the Jack Jumpers?
Yes.
I agree. That's yes or no. All right, big game. Can you believe this? We have gone through. We haven't missed a show. For people who watch NBL Overtime and we love you and getting involved, the very fact is that while last year was happening, we did the show each and every week. And we look forward to this exact moment, the moment where we can say, you know what, we've got one game to go and then the playoffs start in 2 days. But we can't really talk about the playoffs tonight, so how about we do this?
What?
Should we do a podcast or something? Should we do a podcast between tonight and Thursday for the playoffs?
I'm down.
You
down?
Down?
I'm down.
Thank you. Hey, mate, thank you for coming in. It was a very hard time. We appreciate what you did.
Yep.
Thank you, my man. Hashtag NBL Overtime. That is it.